Okay, Walter O'Hara. I'll let him introduce himself here. So this is your laser pointer.
Right.
The down is what moves you forward.
Okay.
Yep, we'll move you back.
Wonderful. Thank you.
All righty.
Well, as introduced, I'm Walter O'Hara, and I'm here with David Buller to represent the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion, which is a program of the AAAS. And the AAAS is, of course, the world's largest general scientific organization with lots of members and lots of affiliated scientists and science societies. And I'm sure that many of you, if not most of you, are already aware of many of the things that the AAAS does. We serve to advance science and serve society. And in doing so, we wish to engage society at large with scientific topics. And so a part of what we do in doing that is publishing many journals. Another part of the way that we do that is through the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion, in which we attempt to engage religious communities with science. And, of course, we have a number of people, and several of them are here, and we were established in 1995 with the desire to further the mission of the AAAS, advancing science, serving society, through engaging and facilitating communication between religious and scientific communities. So ways that we do this, some current projects and some recently finished projects are, of course, Science for Seminaries, which we're here to talk about today. I'm setting up the volleyball, if you will, and I'll turn it over to David, and he'll spike it and let you know some of the results of the Science for Seminaries project. A sister program that is launching called Science for Rabbinic Training. Science for Religious Reporters, helping religious reporters report on scientific topics in a very good way. And, engaging scientists, helping those who are in scientific professions be able to further this dialogue with religious communities in their context and developing training for scientists who are interested in doing just that. And the Perceptions Project. And the Perceptions Project was a three-year project, that helped us find this data. We surveyed those in the sciences and those in religious communities, and some of what we discovered through the Perceptions Project, obviously we knew this already, the U.S. is very highly religious, but the people are very interested in science, but one thing we found is a lot of times people in religious communities are looking to their religious leaders when they have questions about scientific matters. And obviously science and technology impact every portion of modern life. And so what we discovered was that the dialogue piece of what we do was critically important in changing perceptions. And so we wanted to bring dialogue into the theological schools, and it was unique the way that we did this because we partnered with the Association of Theological Schools, which is the largest and most prestigious association of Christian schools in North America. And of course, we provided the scientific partnership. And so through the strategic partnership of both the AAAS and the ASA, not only were we able to reach a large number of seminaries, but provide them with some unique benefits as well. And what things did we provide them with? Well, as part of the project, the AAAS provided local scientists to seminary professors, those who were more proficient maybe than their faculty in working with issues of faith and science in the theological education world, and in addition, subscriptions to Science and Scientific American, and we helped them with gatherings that enabled them in their own context, in their own theological tradition, to grapple with issues of faith and science. And the reason we were working that, or what our goals were to get science into their core curriculum of their university, and we'll look at that in a minute. I thought it was my next slide. And so there was a great deal of interest in this project. In the original pilot process, we had 28 letters of interest, which indicated that there was 10% of ATS-affiliated seminaries who wanted to be a part of what we were doing, and we were constrained to only select 10 schools. When we had a subsequent phase where we did some faculty retreats, we had a full 40% of ATS faculty schools represented by those who applied, 140 applications, which we sadly had to cut 3 out of every 4 people who wanted to engage science in a responsible way in their classroom in the seminary. So a tremendous amount of interest generated through this project, and our 10 pilot schools represented a large variety of the sorts of seminaries who were affiliated with ATS, and as did our applicants for the seminary retreats. So we have everything from what would be considered more liberal in the theological spectrum to very conservative. We had a large geographic distribution, and the schools were picked on the quality of their application and on the readiness of that faculty to begin something new and to grow a program in the context of their school. And so you can see we had quite a wide range of schools that were represented, and we found that as well in the applications for the retreats later. And here's what I was trying to get to earlier. What we asked the schools to do were 2 things in essence. We asked them to integrate science into their core curriculum for the reason that we wanted the widest variety and the largest number of students to be exposed to good science as part of what was happening in their seminary journey through their respective schools. And to that end, we asked that there be 2 courses that was modified and tracked through the process of this program. And then also to expand it beyond the walls of the seminary and beyond even those who were affected inside the classroom, we asked that the seminary-wide event be conducted. What we end up having happen is not 2 courses, but an average of 11 courses per seminary were modified to date in the process of the Science for Seminaries program. And they ran the gamut of theological topics. There was every conceivable scientific area addressed. There was every conceivable area that might be touched on in the seminary addressed, as these seminary professors got very creative and very inventive. And something wonderful happened in the interactions between these advisors and the classroom faculty. As they looked at campus-wide events, I don't believe that there's any campus that has only done 1 event. Some of them have done 5 and 6, and it has just been a wonderful, energetic, growing thing that has happened organically within these seminaries. Lectures, conferences, book studies, movie nights, essay contests, sermon contests. It looks like we didn't put field trips on this list, and they have been very creative, very inventive. And it has been a powerful, powerful impact in all of these seminaries, and most particularly in the relationships that have formed between the advisors and the faculty. Most of them, we're receiving feedback to the extent that it doesn't matter about funding anymore. True relationships have developed between these individuals, and they will continue working in some fashion well after the time of the Science for Seminaries project. But like I said, I was just setting up the framework of where we're at. I'm going to hand it over to my colleague, David Buller, who will share some of the takeaways and what's transpiring right now, even this summer. That's advancement.
Well, throughout this project, we've described the 10 initial seminaries that we're working with as our pilot seminaries. And the reason is the longer-term goal of this project is not really to make a difference simply at 10 particular seminaries and their coursework, but to identify these schools as kind of greenhouses for identifying and developing some of the best ways of engaging with science in the seminary courses. And so certainly a key way of translating and communicating those ideas to the rest of those in the broader seminary community is, as Walter said, through these kinds of interpersonal connections. One very intentional way that we've been working to encourage that is through a series of 3 faculty enrichment retreats that we've been holding this summer. We've held two of them so far for mainline Protestant faculty, for evangelical or conservative Protestant faculty, and in just a week or two, we'll have one for Catholic and Orthodox faculty. And these retreats are led mostly by people that have been involved in the 10 seminaries projects thus far, and they're sharing ideas of which sciences they've engaged in their courses, what the points of contact were, some of them ones you might not initially expect for where science and religion could interface, and practical ideas of the nuts and bolts of what sorts of resources and methods are most effective for bringing science to their students. We have panel discussions, keynote events, as well as what's proven to be one of the most beneficial, just one-on-one times for these newer faculty engaging with science, to have time to sit down with people that have been engaging with those sciences or in those courses for some time, to go talk to a geneticist or an astronomer, to learn more about those particular science fields and what some of the useful resources will be. And of course, another way then of sharing amongst seminary faculty of how they've revised their courses is to share the revised syllabi themselves. We have a website for this project at scienceforseminaries.org. And later this summer and early this fall, we'll start populating that a lot more with a number of resources that I'll talk about for the next few minutes here. As Walter said, we have over 110 or something courses that have been revised. And so we'll be putting all of those syllabi on this website and tagging them by the ecclesial family of the institution where it was developed, the core course area, if it's in biblical studies, systematic theology, church history, ethics, as well as the particular science field that was engaged and discussed in that seminary classroom. So seminary faculty looking to engage with science can go and see, well, where have some other New Testament interpretation faculty, how have they brought science in? Or what are some different ways that astronomy has proven useful or beneficial to engage in different seminary courses? And that will also be a way of providing particular points of contact, again, with interpersonal relationships to see the people that develop those courses, to get in contact with them, to see if there are additional resources or assignments that they use that were particularly beneficial. And also on our Science for Seminaries website, we'll be hosting additional science resources as we identify them and develop them that will be useful for seminary faculty in engaging science. And when we thought about resources and how effectively to bring science to the seminary classrooms, one thing that we've always stressed is the value of not just talking about science at a distance, but really bringing science into the classroom, and particularly through hearing actual science voices, the actual people doing science, so students can hear and see the enthusiasm, the curiosity that motivates scientists in doing their research. So one thing that we're doing to assist that is to create a series of science videos that would be freely available for anyone to use, that will be strategically designed to introduce different science topics effectively for theological education contexts. And so there are several ways that we've strategized these series of videos that we're working on producing now. We want them to be high quality and engaging. We recognize that in most cases, the students coming to, let's say, their pastoral theology class were not expecting to be learning about science. Maybe they probably didn't go to seminary primarily to learn about science. So we want to present the science in a way that's really going to be engaging, to show it as being exciting and relevant for the students' goals and the course goals as well. We're making sure that the videos will be up to date and presenting these scientific fields and be trustworthy. I imagine very, very few seminary faculty have the background or the time to vet science videos, the whole range of science videos you could find online. So we're working to ensure that these give an accurate and up-to-date presentation of these different scientific fields. They, of course, also have to be substantive. You can't have a robust engagement with science if you only have a superficial introduction to the science. But at the same time, if you were to have a full 45-minute documentary, you might be able to go into more depth in the science, but you're not going to have any class period left to actually respond to it and have a discussion as part of a class. So we're shooting for around about 10 minutes for each of these videos in highlighting these different science fields. And we're also tailoring the content strategically to be effective in the seminary classrooms. So, of course, in a 10-minute video, we're certainly going to have to be very selective in talking about evolution or neuroscience. Can't cover the whole thing, of course, but we can highlight some of the key points that are going to lead to particular points of contact in the seminary classroom and generate the most fruitful discussions. At the same time, once we get to those points of contact that go beyond the science, we're being very careful that the content of these videos is neutral on those extra scientific, philosophical, and theological implications. The goal is that this raises points of contact, key questions, in a way that when you get to the end of the video, the students in the classroom and the teachers in the classroom will feel that that discussion has been handed off to them and that it's respecting their different points of view in kind of bringing it full circle and responding from their various theological points of view. This should also greatly expand the range of contexts where these videos will be useful. So this will be useful not just to particular Christian seminary classrooms, but in congregational uses, in Christian schools, for other religious traditions. And so all of these videos will be made freely available again later this summer, early this fall. We have world-class scientists as well as a few people in history or philosophy as well. We came up with our sort of dream team list of the best minds that we would like to have present. And almost without exception, they all said yes to sharing their work with seminary students. So we have people like Franz De Waal, Michael Ruse, Guy Consolmagno, Neil Shubin presenting on their work, as well as three of our five plenary speakers here at this year's ASA meetings. We have Ted Davis, Justin Barrett, and Bill Newsom as well presenting. And so we have six main videos, and then we're working on some sort of spin-off topics that can go into related sub-areas of these fields. We have an introductory, more historical video, Have Science and Religion Always Been at War?, sort of debunking the warfare myth of perpetual conflict between science and religion. We have a video on the methodology and limits of science, one on neuroscience and the mind, one giving an overview of evolution, a video of are humans unique, what makes us human, what's different or not different between humans and animals, and also a video on cosmology and astronomy. And in addition to hosting these on our scienceforseminaries.org website, we'll also be creating supplementary study and resource guides to do several things, to introduce who our speakers are in these videos, to give recommendations for additional readings, books, articles, to allow students and professors to go deeper in exploring these topics, but also to go broader in thinking about some of the other related issues that also have interesting points of contact with the seminary course content. So next steps as well. So we're wrapping up later this year the official 3-year funded phase of this project. But again, a key goal of this 3-year phase is identifying and developing resources that will be freely available in years to come. We're also working on additional ways that we can continue to expand our work with seminaries and theological educators into the future and follow up with longer-term assessment of how the impact that this sort of work is doing on these seminaries and on their graduates. And there are a couple of other theological education contexts where we're also working on doing the same sorts of things. So we have a similar project working with Jewish institutions in rabbinic and cantoral education, providing science with them, networking amongst themselves to integrate science for their training. Of course, many pastors encounter many issues after their seminary training that they often want to sort of loop back around and do more training on. So we're working with several continuing education programs to identify ways to provide sort of mini courses, online continuing education programs to help pastors be more equipped to engage with and answer scientific issues and questions in their ministries as well. And we also have, Walter mentioned briefly before, our Engaging Scientist project that's just starting up this summer and fall in particular. And a key goal of this, really kind of complements our work with theological educators, is recognizing there's been increased attention in the scientific community of the importance of scientists to do public engagement and effective communication as part of their job as being a scientist. And so we want to do a little bit of our Dozer spin to that also, and do communication workshops and efforts on how scientists can more effectively communicate to religious students in their classrooms and in public audiences as well. I imagine that would be something that would be certainly of interest to many working scientists in the ASA, so we encourage you to keep on our email list or keep up with us and email us with any other questions or if you'd like to be someone that we can go to for advice or involvement as we start this project off. And there are several ways that you can keep in contact with us. We have a brochure and another small booklet describing some of the efforts that we do at AAAS and the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion program. Our website is AAAS.org/dozer. You can email us all kind of as a group at dozer@AAAS.org. If you're on social media, if you follow us on Facebook or Twitter, you can get updates also on not only some of the projects that we're doing at Dozer, but also a really well-curated kind of daily reading of some interesting stories in science, ethics, and religion to stimulate your thinking. Again, we have this scienceforseminaries.org website, which is kind of a placeholder site right now. We have some information on the seminaries that we're working with and what their projects are. But again, later this summer, especially, and early this fall, we'll be working on populating that with additional resources, the syllabi, the videos, and any other resources as well. Walter also mentioned our Perceptions Project, which was something that we partnered with ASA on, as well as the National Association of Evangelicals, focusing particularly on evangelical Christians and perceptions and relationships between evangelical Christians and the scientific community. And this booklet here is a good overview of some of the findings and resources that came out of that project. And we also have that available on the perceptionsproject.org website. So be happy to take any other questions as well. You too. We've had some interaction so far. We haven't quite developed or had the opportunity to do a similar level kind of project like this with Muslim institutions, but it's certainly something we're very interested in. And again, it's another area where, particularly with our science videos, the fact that they're science videos, not science and religion videos, should open up their relevance to a range of non-Christian perspectives as well. That's definitely a future area to be looked at and developed.
Going back to the slide on the videos, you mentioned that there would be neutrality on certain issues. Neutrality
when it goes beyond the science.
Right.
So let's say with our neuroscience and psychology video, we're asking Justin Barrett, Bill Newsom, and our other interview in that, kind of what the science is that informs questions of cognitive science of religion that underlies what we think of as free will. But we're not having scientists try to answer the question of, do we have free will? In our evolution video, we talk about what chance means and what it doesn't mean in evolution, what some of the consensus or remaining questions are on issues like evolutionary convergence or directionality, but we certainly don't have scientists trying to answer the question of teleology, purpose, or design in evolution.
Thank you.
And so in that case, I'm curious, is there any plan to sort of repackage these also for people who wouldn't go to a Science for Seven Areas website, like, say, in a secular classroom at a university, you probably would shy away from a site that's called that. But if it was the same video somewhere else, also AAAS, that might be usable in this sort of situation as well, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. We haven't firmed up right now exactly how or where it will be hosted. It could be hosting at a video streaming service would allow it to be linked to in a variety of locations, including scienceforseminaries.org. We are certainly thinking of it as primarily for this particular audience, but I think that's a good point to be thinking of ways that we're not limiting the usefulness of them. Yes?
Are you getting geology in there? I didn't see that listed on the slide there.
Yeah, several of the schools have. One of our partner seminaries, Multnomah Biblical Seminary. I don't think Ken Wolgamuth is here. There he is, yes. So he had, you could talk to him later, I'm sure. He had a good time going up to the seminary and having a couple days of presentations in the classrooms, discussions with students. So it is something that's come up in some of the schools as well.
The other question I have, is this going to translate to larger number of seminaries? Is it going to be easily used by like the other 100 whatever got rejected?
You know, one of the things that we didn't connect on are these incoming faculty, which are 37 new faculty that are coming to the retreats, represent another 37 seminaries. So we started with a pilot of 10, and we are currently, or by the end of summer, we'll have a pool of 47 seminaries that we've influenced. And of course, there's conversations on all parts between the AAAS, the ATS, and even the existing seminaries about what's next within the context of this project.
Yeah,
but we don't. Everyone agrees that something more needs to happen, but we haven't codified exactly what that is to say more.
Is there a list of participating seminaries?
Yes, they're listed all. So these slides will be on the ASA website, which lists them. You can also go to perceptionsproject.org and see them.
Scienceforseminaries.org,
getting them mixed up. So we've had another interesting thing really quick too is very equal interest pretty much between evangelical seminaries, mainline, and Catholic. So when we sent out applications for these retreats, even with 140 applicants, it was almost exactly an even split between the three ecclesial families. So it's been exciting to see not just how much interest there is, but how well represented the full theological spectrum is.
Yeah, the variation was only in the 3 to 4 seminaries between groups in that 140.
Do you realize by bringing Catholics and Orthodox together that you're accomplishing something that Christendom hasn't been able to do?
Thank you.
And to speak to that, these delineations are ATS's delineations, and so we're working within the way the theological accrediting agency divides their own school system.
So maybe credit for healing that rift should go to ATS.
Yes.
Do you want to?
Well, I comment and I'll pass it on that Davis Young's comments about what's happened in geology over the last 75 years. So plate tectonics fits there. Radiocarbon and biblical archaeology fits there for videos and radiometric data.
Maybe I should just add, we're hoping that since this project has been so successful, that we will find the resources to expand it in the future. This hasn't been solidified yet. But if so, we would like to make more videos that can include more topics as well. And as was mentioned, many of these pilot seminaries have included a wide variety of topics in their own courses that go well beyond just the 6 topics of those videos that we're producing here. So a lot of promise. And again, the idea is to reach way beyond the 10 pilot seminaries. That's why we're collecting all their sample syllabi and everything they've done, and we're going to put it on that Science for Seminaries website, which will be advertised to all the hundreds of ATS seminaries. So they'll all hear about these resources and have the option to go look and incorporate them. And before this even started, we had workshops, planning workshops, where we brought seminary faculty, deans, and clergy together. In fact, Walter was in the preliminary planning to see what would and wouldn't work. So practically speaking, in a real seminary environment, so that our original wonderful ideas of having seminaries hire scientists or, you know, this kind of thing immediately got tossed out in the in the light of reality. It's very helpful that we did that first so that we could set up a program that's realistic for being able to be sustainable, bringing science in tidbits that non-scientific professors can incorporate realistically in their very packed courses, and hopefully creating an environment at these seminaries that will sustain an interest in science well beyond this project.
And the seminaries themselves worked with those professors to make it very much enculturated to the ethos of that theological tradition which they represented. So we weren't providing any theological input. We were helping create that dialogue between good science and the seminary professors who brought it into their classrooms.
How did you deal with skeptical or suspicious responses that you're trying to...
So,
the theology of the various seminaries?
And we didn't deal with that directly, but we were partnered with these pilot schools, and for those that represented a tradition that would have kickback, it seems that the most successful technique was to be very proactive, and many of them put up, at least two that I can think of, put up an FAQ immediately on their website, basically saying, we haven't abandoned the faith, and here's how this is all going to play out. And while there are schools represented in the list that this particularly incorporating science almost of any kind becomes an issue, no one had an ongoing difficulty with that. Even in the more conservative schools, that it might have been the case.
All right, let's give our speakers a hand.
Please take these brochures.